This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. In a moment, we'll talk with Kimberly Locke, a former contestant on American Idol, who will talk about what that process is all about for this year's contestants. But first, a map shows the top drug searches in the U.S. over the past decade. A group of researchers used Google Trends to create a map showing the most popularly searched drugs in the U.S. from 2004 to 2014. The drugs included in the search were meth, cocaine, Xanax, Adderall, and heroin. Some of the results were that meth and LSD are the most searched drugs in Los Angeles, heroin is most popular in Pennsylvania, cocaine is most popular in New York, and oxycodone is popular in Virginia. A new report shows more teachers are arrested in the state of Alabama for having sex with students than anywhere else in the nation. The report was put together by Terry Abbott, a former chief of staff of the U.S. Department of Education. Abbott spent all of 2014 recording each news report of teacher sex cases in every state. He found 25 in Alabama alone. The report is also affected by the laws in different states, with some states only finding sexual relationships between teachers and students to be illegal if the student is under 16. The top 10 states with the highest teacher-student cases per capita, New Mexico at number 10, followed by Alaska, Utah, Texas. The District of Columbia came in number 6, followed by Mississippi at 5, Vermont at 4, Louisiana at 3, Kentucky at 2, and Alabama again as the number 1 state in terms of student-teacher sexual relationships. After a day of protests against Bill Cosby, the comedian performed 2 shows last Saturday in Denver, and the audience gave him a standing ovation. Cosby walked out saying, "Hey, hey, hey," in his traditional Fat Albert opening. He told stories about being a husband, a father, and a son, but did not say one word about his alleged victims or the protesters outside. At the end, the audience stood in a standing ovation, applauding loudly while Cosby gave them a military salute and thanked them. One of our regulars here is Kimberly Locke. You know her from season 2, was it, Kimberly?
Season 2.
Oh, American Idol. She finished right behind Ruben Studdard and the other guy. Clay Aiken. I'm sorry. I always forget his name.
You're so funny.
All right. Now, the current season, 14, they're still auditioning and they're getting the group together. There's a couple of hundred people are going to go to Hollywood. What is Hollywood Week like? What was it like for you back in 2002?
You know, Hollywood Week is pretty intense. It's kind of like I equate it to being in a locker room with a bunch of jocks, because everybody's trying to size up the competition. Everybody's trying to figure out where they fit in. Nobody knows what to expect. So there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of nervous energy. So you kind of just, when I went, I really kind of tried to focus on staying to myself and, you know, preserving my voice, because everybody is singing, you know, and you're making new friends and it's all very exciting. And a lot of times before you even audition, some of these people have lost their voices. So Hollywood Week is very intense for all of those reasons.
And what about the accommodations? Are you all in a big hotel, or how do they do that?
Yeah, so we stayed, oh my gosh, I don't know where we stayed, but we all stayed in a hotel. They put us all up. Thankfully, we didn't have to share a room with anybody, so that was nice. But, you know, during Hollywood Week, you are staying right next to where the auditions are going to be held all week. And your call times are like 6 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes you don't get finished to midnight. You know, it's a very long process. And every day, somebody goes home.
Every day?
Every day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, they do a cut every day.
And so you're always thinking, I could be next.
Absolutely. Yes, I'll never forget. Nigel Lithgow walked into the conference room the first day we got there, and it got really quiet in the room, and he walks in. He doesn't say anything. He walks to the front of the room. He turns around, and he said, "Look to your left and look to your right, because one of those people are not going to be here tomorrow."
Wow, this is from the producer of the show?
Yeah, Nigel, he was one of the producers when I was on that season. So that's pretty much, I mean, I love that he said that, because that's exactly how it was.
Yeah, they don't mince words, right? I mean, they tell you what's going to happen.
They tell you like it is.
Yeah. Now, what about getting along with other people? You said you kind of kept to yourself, but aren't you forced at some point to work with other people in these 3 and 4 member groups?
Yes. So you have to, you know, you kind of... Yes, I was able to, you know, keep to myself a little bit and try to keep myself out of the, you know, because there's a lot of extra drama going on. Because don't forget, they're filming a television show. So they're trying to build the stories and create the drama. If you remember, you know, Hollywood Week is when I partnered with Frenchie Davis. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know Frenchie was even there until we had to pick groups.
And that
was
some...
I hadn't seen her.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen her all week.
What was that like, working with her?
You know what? That was a lot of fun, and they made a story out of it because we were supposed to be in a group of three, and nobody wanted to sing with either one of us because we were belters, and they felt like they couldn't, you know, hold their own with us. So they made a story out of that. So that, you know, sometimes there's a lot of drama during Hollywood Week because they are trying to get these extra stories to, you know, draw people in and show people the intensity of what's really happening that week.
Now, when you saw the finished product, did it properly reflect what had happened, or did they take a little license in the editing?
I'll be honest, with my particular story, I felt like they kept it clean and nice. I think they kept it very true to what really happened. But there are some other stories that, you know, did get a little bent and twisted, you know, just because they needed to, you know, they needed a better story.
Yeah.
And that does happen. You know, that's kind of the thing I always tell people when you're talking, they're talking about American Idol. There's so much going on behind the scenes. Like, there's a whole, you could produce a whole nother show about the behind the scenes of American Idol. In addition to what actually happens on stage, because there's a lot that goes on, and, you know, that's what makes for good TV and great stories.
Well, you know, on Idol this past week or so, they had a young lady who came on named Jax, and I thought she was terrific. She played the piano and did a ballad version of I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles, and I thought she was simply outstanding. And then I was raving about it. I kept repeating the performance on my DVR. And don't you know, the next day, one of my Facebook friends posts the same video and says, this is the daughter of a friend of mine. So that gave me the entree. So I connected with her father, and we're trying to set up an interview. But now we got to go through the legal department at Idol.
I
guess, what's that like?
Now, so that's another thing. Once you get that golden ticket, you know, you have signed on. You are in the confidentiality clause. You know, you have to uphold that. You are in the Idol realm, if you will, until you get voted off. And even if you get voted off during Hollywood Week, I don't think you can really do anything until the end of the show, if I remember correctly. So they're very serious about their contracts and... because they have the authority to approach anybody that auditions for that show about a record deal. It's not only just the winners who could get a deal. They could sign anybody that they want.
Now, Hollywood Week, as I take it, the highlight for me is that the performers sing on stage with the judges in front of them, but then the auditorium is usually filled with the other performers, and they actually react for the first time to some of their competitors. What's that like?
Right. It's good and it's bad because sometimes when you're sitting in that audience and you're waiting to audition and you see somebody who does really great that you thought did great and then you hear the judges rip them apart, it kind of gets in your head and you're like, oh my gosh, they were great. What are they looking for? You know, I thought they were great. So, and then you're watching them, you know, get cut right there in front of you. It's very nerve-wracking. The good thing about when you're actually on stage is that you have your peers out there and they're supporting you because you're all going through the same process.
So you did find it supportive in most cases, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. It's very nice to be up there and have your peers. Everybody's going through the same process. Everybody's going to walk across that stage. And to know that at least your peers are going to give you some support, even if the judges don't.
All right. Well, you survived Hollywood Week, so you can relax now.
I survived. Thank you.
Kimberly Lock, we love talking to you about your Idol experience. I think it really gives our listeners an insight into what these young performers are going through, you know, a few years later, but very similar circumstances.
Yes, absolutely. You know, Hollywood Week was so intense. I remember we had to write a song, and by the time we got to the room, it was already midnight. And I was so stressed because I was like, it's midnight. We have to be up at 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I still have to write four bars of a song. It's really, really intense, and it requires, you know, people to be focused. And, you know, I teach private voice now, so I have a lot of parents who come to me and ask me, should I let her audition for American Idol? And I have to tell them all the time, you know your child. If you know that your child can't handle that amount of pressure right now, then don't put them through it, because it's very, very intense. But if you know your child and you think your child has the thick skin to withstand the criticism and the focus to make it through the stress, then absolutely let them go for it, because it's an experience of a lifetime.
Well, Kimberly, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
With Kimberly Locke of American Idol, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend. America
Weekend. Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-568-5857, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-568-5857. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-568-5857. That's 800-568-5857.